Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Chris, we're glad to have you back.
Yeah, let me just stop right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have something that I need to get off my chest, so we can just get it out there and just kind of move on. All right?
Okay.
I took off last week because of an illness. Mm-hmm. All right. And yes, Blair, thank you so very much for filling in and doing the gentlemanly thing and, you know, doing me a real solid. Okay. Well, let's talk about that podcast for a second. You guys buried me for like 5 minutes because I had to miss 1 week. Okay. I had strep throat, you F words. Strep throat. Like,
here's the thing.
Yeah, it's fine now because I'm not contagious anymore, but like, I sounded horrible. And you were like, oh yeah, well, that's nothing. Like, I have a busy theater schedule, and I still make time for this. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't do anything to, like, hinder your throat or your voice.
I mean, it does.
Okay, sure.
Depends about how passionate I am.
But I sounded like this the entire week, okay? Do you really want the podcast to sound like this?
Just pretend you were Harvey Firestein, and he was...
Everyone knows who that is because of Saturday Night Live now. Yay.
He's just like, we would have him be like a closeted wrestling fan, and we got him on the show.
Sure, fine.
Here's the thing, though.
Okay.
I have heard what you've said about me on the weeks I couldn't make it. They haven't because I have editing power, and I'm just didn't make it in the podcast.
Excuse me.
But I heard what you've said about me.
Well, I mean, they've heard of the Hollywood Joel Leonard nickname.
Exactly.
You went full heel, you know, you spray-painted TRA on our logo.
Oh, I would never do that. I like our logo.
Okay, fair enough.
But that should totally be their logo. Do they have a logo?
I don't think they does have
trashy
a logo.
That should be the Trashy Ring Attire
logo.
Hey,
Trashy Ring Attire, get a freaking logo.
And just take the Classy Ring Attire logo and spray paint TRA across it.
Or at least a T.
Sure, over the C.
Because then you're just being redundant.
Trashy Ring Attire, Ring Attire.
You need to save spray paint. It's a valuable commodity, you guys.
It's virtual spray paint.
Yes.
It's an MS Paint function. You just click on spray paint.
Yeah, do you know how expensive that is?
MS Paint, I mean, I have a Mac, so I can't, I guess it's
exactly.
It's priceless to me, because I can't get MS Paint.
Yes, so, thanks, Blair, for filling in. Sorry, everyone, that I was unavailable. I'm feeling better now. I've actually took the last of my round of antibiotics today. I'm feeling great. Still got a little bit of a cough, so if you hear me coughing at some point.
That's where it comes
from. I apologize. I have my water, so it won't be so bad.
All right. Do you have anything about the week of Raw that you missed that you need to talk about that was Rock-related? Or
Yeah, Rock was a fun surprise. Like, it was one of those things where, like, I know we give Rock a really hard time for, you know, WrestleMania 27 and 28. And 29.
27 and 29. 28 was fine.
I didn't like... the match was a lot worse than 29, and the vibe was a lot worse than 29, because...
No, that's what I'm saying. 27 and 29 are bad, 28 is fine.
Oh, okay.
Like, if it was just 28, it'd be awesome.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, fair enough.
The fact that it was 27 through 29 was the problem.
But yeah, like, 29, like, really, like, left a bad taste in our mouth, and it was fixed, you know, a little bit with, you know, his surprise WrestleMania 30, because, you know, it was exactly what we needed from The Rock, you know, get the crowd going and make sure that the show wasn't about him, and then, you know,
yeah,
they left and on went the show, and no one did any run-ins.
Yeah.
Which I was in the back of my mind for the rest of WrestleMania 30, so I was like, Rock is in the building, you guys. So is Hulk Hogan. Stone Cold, I'm okay with, yeah, whatever.
Stone Cold can run in. I'm like,
yeah,
he'll be back in the ring.
He gets a Stone Cold gets out of jail free card.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he used that up a lot in KFAB.
Well, that's the thing, is if Stone Cold runs out, then we get to see a sequence of him catching 29 beers. One for each WrestleMania of the past.
Yeah, but the guy who throws them got fired.
But not before WrestleMania 30, right?
Oh, yeah, he was at WrestleMania 30.
He could have had one last beer-throwing hurrah, and he didn't.
Or they could just call Mark Eaton and be like, hey, we need you to come back just for tonight. Stone Cold's on.
Nobody that Stone Cold doesn't trust anyone.
No one's got a beer cannon like you.
So, well, can't you see, like, the, when he comes out, the next time he's like, he does the throw me a beer thing, that first beer comes and thwacks him right in the head.
Or even sadder, it, like, it peters out and just kind of, like, falls in front of him and rolls at his feet.
It's like, mm.
And then, like, lights go down, spotlight on that one beer. Then we get a graphic RIP Mark Eaton. He's not even dead!
But we gotta get him back now.
Right? So, him coming back, like, literally out of nowhere, because, again, like, it was just a run-of-the-mill Raw that just happened to be in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's how you use The Rock. And that's how you utilize trying to get people to turn over during halftime.
And from the sounds of things, it was just like, you know, the stars just happened to align for a few minutes, you know, whatever. He was able to pop over and do this, you know. And it was a fun segment. You know, people were like, oh, yeah, buried Rusev. It's like, not really.
You didn't bury Rusev.
No, Rusev is fine. He's fine.
Smash cut to 1 week later.
Right.
We'll get there.
Yeah. But, going off the hills and transitioning from the weird firing of Mark Eaton, Justin Roberts in WWE didn't agree to a new contract, and so now Justin Roberts was let go.
Mm-hmm.
Their, you know, flagship ring announcer, like all their big events, you know, was Justin Roberts.
Yeah.
I swear, if this means more Lillian Garcia, I will...
I think...
I will kill everything.
I think they see a bright future for JoJo, and they're just gonna fast-track her.
That's not much better. Not much better. Now we have another reasonably attractive, I guess they can sing, ring announcer? Because that's exactly what Lillian Garcia was.
Yeah.
She came back because her, you know, pop career didn't pan out.
I don't know. Here's the thing, like, it's the kind of thing that I don't really notice when it's there until it's gone or somebody different.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of like, what is happening?
I mean, let's be honest. Justin Roberts was the best ring announcer they had on roster.
Yeah, probably.
You know? Like, I'm not saying he's the... I'm not saying he was the Fink of our generation, but he's about as close as it got.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have a Finkel of our generation.
No. Oh, we don't have anyone with that, I don't know, that iconic something.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
But like, that's also, you know, looking back with, you know, rose-tinted goggles.
Yeah, but there's some guys who are just those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have a Heenan of our generation. Heyman's the closest thing, but Heyman's not on commentary.
Right.
Really, and he was on
and commentary Heyman, you know, and Heyman's kind of his own entity. Like,
yeah.
Apples and oranges, almost, you know.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean,
it was just strange.
It was a little bit of like, you know, did he want too much money? Did like,
yeah,
was somebody upset about something? And so,
and I'm like, in surprising, like I don't, I think he was on Cabana's podcast a couple years ago, and the guy is just a wrestling fan at its core, like. They would apparently have, like, these trivia, like, hotlines or whatever. Mm-hmm. They would call in, and they would try to, like, you know, answer whatever. And he would, like, call in so much that they practically knew him. You know, and that was as a kid. Like, he was just this huge wrestling nerd who just, you know, worked his way up and became, you know, a ring announcer for the biggest company in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I feel like this was, like, the job for him. Like, this was the dream job. Like, so I don't understand why he'd be okay with walking away unless he's just had it.
I mean, and you know what? Justin Roberts is, I think he was going to be on, I think, Talk is Jericho at one point, and he might still be in the near future. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, if it's a you know, amicable split, then well, you know, I don't see why not.
Talk is Jericho is not WWE affiliated.
No, and it's not getting peddled every Monday Night Raw like Stone Cold
is for some reason. Is.
I don't understand it.
I don't know.
Like, they do realize he has TNA people on his show sometimes, right?
I don't think they care, to be totally honest. Yeah,
fair enough, true.
Totally fair with you. I don't think they care. But no, I mean, stuff will come out about Justin Roberts. This is just happening just now.
Yeah. And I mean, and, you know, again, he just might feel like that he's at that point in his life, and, you know, all the best to him.
Well, everybody who's left, you know, almost without fail, have cited the travel schedule.
Right.
You know? Which I understand.
Yeah, of course.
So, I don't know. Who knows? I guess best of luck, future endeavors, etc., etc.
Sure.
This week on Raw, let's go ahead and touch on Rusev real quick.
Okay.
So, this is a little by the book of how you mess up a monster heel build, right?
How do you mean?
I mean, so they have the guy beat everybody for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Then finally beat interesting people for a while. So it's right. Terrible monster heel build, interesting monster heel build.
Right.
You know, effectively. And then we get to this Big Show point. And Big Show has a ton of offense, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when Big Show, you know, and then he gets, you know, they go back and forth. Big Show's won a match by disqualification now, I think. Which means that Rusev is technically no longer undefeated.
Yeah.
But for all intents and purposes, he's, you know, never been pinned or submitted, so
right.
He's still, there's plenty of fire. I don't mind that at all. But then Mark Henry comes down, and they kind of just team up and destroy him. And it's not, like if anything, that garners, I feel like, a lot of sympathy for Rusev.
Yeah.
And, like, and here's the thing, like, you know, agree or disagree on the, like, you know, we're awesome because we're American, he's terrible because he's Russian, you know, push, and they're pushing that, and, you know, and they do have, like, The Rock being like, technically,
right.
We, you know, this, let's just go ahead and cover our, you know, politically correct bases here, but, you know, that's that is the line that they're towing, and, like, you know, I'm not teaming up like that's not the American way, like, we're not supposed to feel like that.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, and so, I don't know, I'm not comfortable cheering his demise that way.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be really excited to cheer for him to be defeated. That's the entire purpose of a heel.
Right, but the also, you know, purpose of a heel is to, you know, gang up on one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hashtag not a face.
WTF, mate. Like, what's going on? You know, like, because what is Rusev supposed to, like, what's the plan for? Like, is Rusev going to get, like, a friend now or something? Like, that's the only other way I could see this making sense. But again, this is a very, like, this is the same thing, if you're watching NXT, that the Ascension have been doing to Hideo Itami, like, every week. They both started been ganging up on him and leading to, I can't remember what his new name is, For Prince Devent.
Oh, no.
He's, like, they've already shot it, where he comes in to help save the day, and now they're a team, now there's even.
Yeah.
You know. So that's pretty much what they're doing there, but again, those are two heels beating up on one face. You know? Yeah. But it's essentially the same thing if they go any further with this.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I mean, and if Rusev comes back next week and beats both Mark Henry and Big Show in, like, a handicap match, okay, I'm back on board. That's impressive.
By all means. Like, it'll be that much sadder whenever he gets squashed by Cena at WrestleMania.
You think that's going to be it?
If they're not going to have Cena versus Hogan, that's probably what we're going to get. It's going to be John Cena's I Am the Real American moment.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing is, like, As much as I still stand here and be like, I like Cena, and I'm still interested in you, like, I can't think of anybody I want to see Cena face at WrestleMania. Like, CM Punk.
Well, yeah.
And not in just, like, I want Punk to come back with Punk forever.
But they,
like,
they have a great...
They have great chemistry, and that's something where I'm like...
I always felt like they needed a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, and there's not... There's really, like,
round out their feud.
And there's not, like, I haven't seen the end of that, I haven't seen who would come out on top, mm-hmm, once and for all kind of thing there.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back and forth through the... So, CM Punk. But if CM Punk came back, I would also be totally fine with him facing other people as well.
Pretty much anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's...
Except for Kane. We don't need to do that again.
Mm-mm.
That was the whole reason why he left.
but this, I don't have... I guess I'd be okay with, like, a CM Punk versus the Authority kind of thing. CM Punk Triple H match. I mean...
Just not WrestleMania, obviously.
Well, not main event WrestleMania, but that'd be a WrestleMania match at this point.
Yeah, but then he would leave again. Like, that's the reason he left.
Not CM Punk. Sorry, did I say CM Punk?
You said CM Punk.
Blurp that. Cena. I'm trying to think of anybody else I'd be interested in Cena facing. Yeah. Cena versus Triple H in an authority match. Okay.
Sure. I can't think of anyone either. It's one of those things I just assumed was happening. You know, like, who else is gonna finally defeat Rusev? Because you know that's in the back of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is why they've had, you know, that would have been the, if they really, really wanted this push thing to take off for Swagger,
mm-hmm.
have him be the one to break it. If they really wanted to throw Mark Henry or Big Show a bone one more time, one of them would have done it by now, you know?
Yeah.
So you feel like they're really holding on for something.
You don't think they're going to have a new guy do it? Newer guy?
I mean,
a guy who's
Super America?
Not Super America, because I don't think you need to. I mean, they got to do it for America, obviously, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they have to be a real American kind of thing. If they do that, the answer is Kurt Angle.
True.
It is. The answer is suck it up, get a one-night contract.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle, submission match.
Okay.
It's the answer. Kurt Angle would do it.
Although I'd rather see him put Rusev in an angle slam. That'd be more impressive, mm-hmm. but you know, whatever.
He can do that as well.
Yeah.
But he's a submission master, and that's all Rusev has done
is
submission. Yeah. So you do a submission match at WrestleMania, one night contract Kurt Angle, so you don't have to deal with all the Kurt Angle baggage, but you get the Kurt Angle pop. That's the right answer. It's what you do.
Right.
Unless you have a mid-card guy who you're like, I'm going to vault him to main event by beating mm-hmm. Rusev.
And I can't really think of anyone on NXT that would fit that build, that mold. Because, I mean, let's be honest, like the guys who are about on the, you know, on the verge of coming up are Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn, and neither of those are American. You know?
No. Yeah. So, I don't know. But, I mean, I was thinking, like, Cesaro could do it if Cesaro was still any kind of, like, real American associate.
Yeah.
But, you know.
For a second, and I know this is kind of a bit of a sidetrack, for a second I thought they were going to turn Cesaro a face this week. With him sitting out there while, who was it?
It was Ziggler and Randy Orton.
Yeah, and then Seth came out to curb stomp Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a second, I was like, okay, Cesaro's still out there, so someone could come in and do something about this. And then all you did is, like, they cut to a far away angle, and you can kind of see Cesaro just sitting there. I'm like, really?
Cesaro's watching the show, like us.
He's like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I would have done that better, but, you know, whatever. That's really all Cesaro is on commentary.
By the way, Ziggler and Randy Orton, pretty good match.
Pretty fantastic. Like, not even angry that Ziggler lost, because usually we are.
Yeah, but like,
it was a good, it looked great in there.
But that's what I hope for out of Raw. It's, you know, because that was a match that could have gone either way, and could have gone cleanly either way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I did not know where they were going with this. It was a good, solid, long match. Great offense. Both guys came out looking good, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And yeah, one of them's getting a Hell in a Cell match, and one of them's not, so you got to make him be the one that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's what I want out of matches on Raw. Like, good job.
How difficult does it seem that the announcers are having trying not to say that Randy Orton is the consolation prize at Hell in a Cell?
Oh, man.
They are tiptoeing around it mm-hmm. so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's a double main event. It's practically the same thing, even though even though neither John Cena nor Dean Ambrose really want this match.
Somebody slipped it, because, you know, they would always be like, the winner gets Seth Rollins. And the other one gets Randy Orton.
Made sure that they did not say loser.
They said loser one time, and I was like, they said it! They said it! Hooray!
And then that person got a very stern talking to
him. I'm sure they did.
We got tricked into another John Cena Randy Orton match!
I know, I was sitting there.
Like, how did that happen?
I was like, because it was after the Randy Orton thing, like, he said it, and I was like, okay, I see why they're doing that in the storyline. But it was like, commercial break. Two matches later, I'm like, I'm really worried Cena's going to win. I want Dean Ambrose to win so I can have Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins beat, 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 beat. And that means when you and John Cena, no!
Like, we gotta hook when you into this crap.
Because that's the thing, it's like, it did not occur to me for like 15 minutes after they, like, that was a possibility.
Yeah.
And so I was like, ah, oh, they got me. I didn't even see it coming.
No.
And then I didn't know what I wanted to happen, because I was like, of course I want Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. But at what cost? At what cost?
Also, how... okay. How ridiculous was that, the title of that match? The no-holds-barred contract-on-a-pole match. There's a bar being held! It's the pole with the contract on it! So, obviously, there is at least one bar holding...
You know what no holds barred means, right?
It means no one's allowed to hold any bars.
It means
no one's allowed a tin bar. No one's allowed to, like, come close to, like, the prison bars.
I mean,
prisoners have to stay away from bars.
Like, I want to also complain that, like, on a pole just doesn't sound intimidating.
No.
Like, you have, like, elimination chamber, hell in a cell, on a pole! Like, it's not...
And I'm sure that's the problem they were probably running into, because... Theoretically, if something is on a pole match, that's the only stipulation, so it's already no holds barred. But they run into the problem, like, how do we make this sound like something intense that people should tune in for? Contract on a pole on fire or something, you know?
Is contract match not enough?
Could have been.
Can they just have a contract match?
Yeah.
And they'll explain it, like, you know, they have commentary running through the entire show. They'll explain the contract's going to be hung on a pole,
well, yeah,
and nobody's getting pinned. But
that, or it's, you know, hanging from the... They can make a ladder match out of it, or whatever.
Can I also just say, the wonderful, like, actually really well-executed decision to move that match to
it
this
made,
week?
It made sense. Yeah, that way... The other match, the not the loser match, gets somewhat of a build.
Yeah.
You know, between
the
now and then.
The other one.
And you get a more focused storyline between Dean and
right.
Seth.
You get a good cross promo thing in there. You don't have, you know, a guy, you know, someone like Dean, you know, going up against John Cena. You don't want guy going up against John Cena and then still beating John Cena and still fit enough to have a main event match.
Right.
Like, you know, so there's that. And even in KFAB, because in KFAB, they should, you know, Triple H should totally have that match because then whoever faces Seth Rollins is severely weakened.
Right.
But the way that they, like, executed it with Triple H getting worked up and angry and, you know, almost calling the match there and, you know, this kind of thing. And I'm sure they didn't think of this, but it works out in this. Triple H, you know, in character, the character is governing the company with his emotions, and this is him letting his emotions get the best of him, which is why maybe, you know, the authority, who always wants what's best for business, is against John Cena, even though we all know John Cena's clearly best for business, because that's his entire mantra.
Right.
But you can be like, oh, Triple H governing with his emotions and, you know, has never been accepting of John Cena being the top guy and him not being, and, you know, yeah, they didn't think of that, I'm sure. But it worked, and it worked really well. And,
yeah,
like, so, it's, you know, it worked well, especially in a way because I thought they should do that. I suspected they might do that, and I kind of thought it was going to be this, like, oh, actually this. Ignore what we said last week.
Right.
And so to change and address and adjust, it's a small thing. It makes a huge world of difference. Because they've definitely had that problem before, where they've announced something on a Raw, changed their minds in the week, and then announced the different thing on the next Raw. Like,
and then act like the first
thing
never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the stipulation is something totally different. Just like it's always been.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not what happened.
Yeah. Almost like the first time that Swagger and Rusev had a match at a pay-per-view, and what was it? They called the match because Jack, he, like, hit his head on the pole, whatever, and they just called it there. And then he did the accolade on him post-match, and Swagger was already out. Next time on Raw, all we got was this whole, you know, BS story about, oh yeah, Swagger tapped.
Yeah.
No, he was...
No.
The guy was brain dead in there. Like, come on. You know, but yeah, it's like, nope, this is what happened this way. It's always happened. Yeah. Don't know what you're talking about. No. Like,
so that's the thing. It's like, I'm okay with stuff changing a tangent, you know, these like flowing, ebb and flow storylines. But at least they
acknowledge that it changed.
But that's why I watch every week.
Right.
To see the changing, evolving storylines.
Right.
Just is like, nope, completely different storyline. Go.
So, okay, so I have a question for you.
All right.
Did you know that this Nikki and Brie thing was still going on?
did something happen about that this week?
Nope.
No, it didn't.
Not for the past couple weeks. Because they've had all these special guests. And they've been to all of the divas because of the breast cancer.
You're right. You're
totally right. So they haven't actually done anything. And yet, announced, I believe, last night, on .com, now on the show, they will have a match where the stipulation is... the loser becomes the personal assistant to the other one.
Oh, no.
I know.
That's a terrible stipulation.
Yeah.
That's a terrible situation.
Even for them.
Oh, I could see the backstage sketches already.
It's Eve and Teddy Long on SmackDown.
Oh.
With Big Johnny Ace. Like, it's all that all over again.
Do you remember the tagline of 2004's Aliens vs. Predator?
No, I do not.
It is, whoever wins, we lose. And that is what I'm thinking of right now.
I could describe that movie, too.
And no, it is. Of course I could. That's why they put the tagline for that movie.
No, I mean, in a way that they probably didn't expect.
Fair enough.
In the sense that they released this monstrosity upon the Earth that is that movie.
But literally, whoever wins this match... we still get terrible backstage segments.
We sure do.
Oh no, I'm so unhappy.
As you should be.
That's a terrible stipulation.
Yep.
Which also guarantees that Nikki's gonna win, because then they'll have Nikki taking advantage of Brie.
Right.
So.
Because that is the heel thing to do.
Yes, exactly. God.
Nick, you know, Brie being the face good guy, so to speak, would, you know... treat her assistant fairly and with respect.
Nobody wants to see that table flip.
I mean, if it means a...
Actually, I take that, like, if Brie wins, and she has just, like, some paperwork for Nikki to do during the show.
That would be a billion times better than another Jerry Springer segment.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what we would get every week if the other... if it was, you know, tables were reversed.
I'm so unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now let's transition us to a more interesting thing happening within the Divas division. This AJ friend story thing going on. Where are they going with this? Like, who is, like, because, you know, Alicia Fox and Paige being best friends, it works. And I'm happy with it because it brings back the whole crazy Alicia Fox thing. Which I feel like they were just getting off the ground. And then... Oksana happened and kill it all.
Well, that happened, and they had a Divas a championship storyline, a total Divas storyline, right. And then a Bella Twins storyline. They're like, what, the three Divas storylines? This is far too many. Away with the crazy Alicia Fox.
So now they found a way to incorporate Alicia Fox. Yes. Now with AJ, they've had 2 weeks now where she's tried to find a friend.
Mm-hmm.
She left Emma out to dry, and who could blame her? Because really, because the dumb dancing, and you've always got to keep your eye on your iPhone cover. Because you tried to steal it at Walmart, because that's
the joke. I'm not laughing at the joke. I'm laughing at the fact that you told the joke.
Because you had this blank look on your face where you just didn't understand what I was just doing.
I was like, I didn't pay attention to that segment, but like, maybe something happened with an iPhone.
The audience would get it.
Of course.
I can hear you laughing through the magic of the podcast. And then this week we have Layla, who left AJ because, you know...
Other shenanigans.
So, who is going to be friends with AJ? That's what I want to know.
I mean, I don't really, like... I don't see this... you know, as a pathway to a successful Divas tag team division or anything. Like, I think it's just going to be a rotating, you know...
for a few weeks, I think.
Thing.
A few more weeks.
I mean, do you think they have a big plan at the end? Or you think this is a debut of Bayley?
Yep.
Okay.
I sure do, and I would love the crap out of it. Got, you know, grumpy-faced AJ, because let's be honest, she's kind of turning into a CM Punk kind of grumpy person. You know, whether that by design or, you know, osmosis, I don't know.
I mean, I think but it's...
having Bayley being, you know, next to it, it would be hilarious. It would be like every tag team that Goldust was ever on. It was hilarious and it was fun.
Okay, so this means you think that Bayley's going to get called up before Charlotte?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Do you wanna put down official prediction? Bayley gets called up to the main roster before Charlotte.
Yeah, sure.
The usual wager.
Really, like, okay, the usual wager. I really wish they didn't do that, because that's all we heard about was the gentleman's bet.
It's a Trading Places reference.
I know.
I mean, I'm hoping it's a Trading Places reference.
No, it's not.
You think there's like one guy in the back like, I came up with a brilliant joke.
Sure, but I don't think any of them made that connection.
Do you think Vince just got around to watching Trading Places?
No. Do you think Vince has free time to watch quote-unquote movies?
No, he's keeping...
Do you think he's ever watched a documentary that his own company has made?
Vince is keeping up with the relevant hip trend by watching that new up-and-comer Eddie Murphy in his family picture.
Oh, man, he's gonna get real pissed when he gets to his later works.
So, yeah, no, we'll see in 2048 when the Meet Dave jokes start flowing.
See, that was the thing I was trying to work with that joke. I was like, what's the name of his horrible movies? But no one remembers those because they're horrible.
I remember.
For a second, I was about to do a Pluto Nash.
that was the other one I was going
to go. It was that one and the other one where he dressed up as every character. Not the funny one with Nutty Professor, but the newer one that he tried to do that one.
Norbit.
Let's just say Norbit a bunch of times, you guys.
That's definitely one of those words that you can say until it stops becoming a word.
I'm pretty sure it's not a word to begin with.
I hope it's a real name.
Norbit.
Norbit's a dragon. Norbit is a Kenny Murphy movie.
I'm glad we made the distinction.
Also, Brad Maddox has started to like resurface.
Yeah, he was on. He was on the app.
He was on the app. He was also. WWE released a Vine. Side note: WWE has a Vine account. That's hilarious.
But they have an Instagram account. Don't they realize that they could do more on an Instagram video?
I just like that there's no more doubt.
I'm pretty sure it's still there somewhere. They're just trying to, you know, throw dirt on it.
I mean, having a Vine account is like the ultimate defeat of, like, tout not working anymore.
Fair enough. I would have... Instagram is a good knife in the chest of tout, but yeah, Vine, absolutely, because that's its sole purpose.
Yeah. So, they released a Vine of Brad Maddox, like, walking in at a house show. Hmm. And so...
Yeah, I did. I think I did see a picture of that, yeah.
So, I would like to please everybody blow up about Brad Maddox, discuss Brad Maddox, get lots of Brad Maddox talk happening, because... I don't know, like, I really thought he was going to be future endeavor during the Red Wedding this year.
Yeah. You know it's not going to happen if you ask people to do it, right?
Do it! I ask you!
I mean, yeah, you lucked out that your favorite guy is Dolph, because a lot of people love that guy. So, you're good, it's okay for you to, you know, be like, hey, let's all cheer for Dolph. Me and you might be on, like, the Brad Maddox Island or his bathroom, according to those videos. I don't know.
I mean, I haven't read the comments on the WWE app video, like...
Fair enough.
I mean, there's a couple, and it was a fairly good promo. Like, it was a good promo.
Yeah, it was a really good promo. I hope that there's some direction to it. I hope that there's something going on with it.
I hope so.
But I'm also hoping that there's something going on with that Kofi, Big E, and Xavier Woods stable.
Yeah, remember that?
Apparently they're still working together. They're still doing stuff on house shows. They
better be, because they don't exist on Raw at all.
No. Way to bring the show down.
Hey, I didn't acknowledge that there was a loser has to be the assistant to the winner stipulation. I'm upset about it.
Okay, well, I wanted to bring it up because it was announced this week.
I'm bummed out. I didn't know. I was living in a world of delightful bliss.
Because you thought that feud was just forgotten about?
I knew it was going to happen. But I didn't care who won the match. Because whoever won the match, they would have cut a little promo during the time that I went to the bathroom about, like, I won because I'm a winner. And you're a loser. And Bella twins for something. I don't know.
You okay?
That's what I hear every time the Bella Twins talk.
All right.
I'm a winner, you're a loser because of the Bella Twins. Something, something, winner, blah.
I just hear, you know, dead-eyed monotone. Well, dead-eyed, more like dead inside, monotoned, Valley Girl talk.
Fair enough.
I wish you died in the womb.
God, that still upsets me. God, I've already compared that to Bret Hart and Owen Hart on the podcast, right?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll do it again. If I haven't, I thought I did it, but I might have just like complained to you or someone else. No, it was so the Owen Hart Bret Hart like feud, the build to like that turn and that anger took months.
Yeah,
I did that. I did that, right? It took forever, and then like we're 8 days into this Bellator thing. I wish you died. And then like you just
right, they escalated it like
you jump from 0 to 10 like that. You got nowhere to go from. I wish you had died in the womb. That's the top.
I mean, unless you come up with a new way for him to die.
But you died twice in the womb.
Yeah.
I wish I had reabsorbed you in the womb.
I don't know how many prenatal death wishes you can come up with.
I don't know. We need to do something real quick.
Are we going to play another card game?
No, we're not going to play another card game.
Okay, because you just grabbed your phone.
I did grab my phone. I did grab my phone because I teased this on the last podcast.
Yes. I've got it here. I'll follow along.
Our good friend Beardsley, he's been on the podcast twice. Beardsley took it upon himself to watch Leprechaun Origins, the WWE Studios film starring Hornswoggle, and we were live tweeted or live texted.
And are we still going to get him at like to come on the show and give like a full review? We should still do that.
We should.
But this is going to be like a.
But the texts are worth looking at, like the in real time text as he watched.
All right. So we're gonna need to edit a lot of this.
Yes.
Let's see. Where do we go?
It starts with I'm watching the new Leprechaun. God help me.
I told him to give us reports as you go.
And so as follows is Beardsley's live account. Right now, it's ripping off the second Jurassic Park movie.
With Irish hillbillies.
I have reached minute 30. Morale is low. We'll keep updated.
Then we both gave him some encouragement to not give up. Then he's our only hope.
Beardsley comments, I think they're confusing leprechauns with vampires. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
How is this a house on house in Ireland if there isn't any whiskey? Why am I doing this? Life is meaningless. There is no God.
Do horror movies not exist in universes that horror movies are set in?
Seriously, B-word. Head trauma of that caliber ain't nothing to F with.
It's good to know that they spared no expense and got the best visual effects team that 1986 had to offer.
El Torito would have been a way better leprechaun.
Come on, that looks nothing like a human spine.
Gollum has really let himself go.
When does Heath Slater come out to help the leprechaun?
It's over. It's finally over. And then Joel asked, does air taste sweeter now? Have you decided to live life to its fullest? And Beardsley answered with a simple no.
So
there you go. There you have it. Leprechaun Origins, as told by Beardsley.
In 90 seconds or less, Leprechaun Origins, live reactions.
Lovely. We still... we want to have him on the podcast and actually give a full, like, vocal review. We might have to record that ahead of time and just kind of put it at the beginning or the end of a show and add appropriate bleeps.
We'll see. We'll see if we can.
Because I don't think there's any, like, controlling of or him censoring himself in that,
no, in that manner. No, I think there might not be. I do want to mention good things WWE did. Mm-hmm. We did not get Hornswoggle in an alligator costume this week.
Yes, that's a good thing.
So,
wait till next week.
No.
Okay. I mean, that's optimism. That might be, you know, some.
Well, I said it last week. I was like, you know what? They tried something weird and different, and that's, I've asked for that several times on this podcast. So I will not be angry for them trying.
Yeah, but we've seen Del Torito and Hornswoggle have like a few matches.
I know, but this.
But he wasn't wearing a lizard costume.
But they did a mascot fight.
Okay.
But the tag, I mean, it was dumb. It was terrible.
It was.
But they tried something weird and different. Okay, fair enough. All not right. Mad at you. You do it again, I'm mad at you. Because that was the most coordinated anger I think I've ever heard from a crowd.
I don't know. That Kathy Lee and Hunter Kopi, like, was a lot of anger.
Wait. Chris Lee wasn't on this week.
He was. He was, honestly, out of all the guests they've had in the past couple weeks, probably sounded the most sane.
Did I miss Chris Lee?
It was like a one-off segment. They had Tom Phillips, the new guy, interview him. He was sitting at ringside with like two of his sons, and they just asked him how it was like, and he was like, you know what? It's a real blessing. My youngest son really loves this, watches this 24/7, so he's been able to meet all of his favorites, so it's been a really fun experience. And he was like, well, what can we expect? Like, well, you know, my oldest son, he's turning 18, so we're dealing with that. My daughters are dating. I'm having to deal with that. And really all you can ask for is just, you know, try to make sure that your kids are the best people that they can be. And, like, that was it. I was like, I was not expecting, like, a thoughtful, good answer from him. Not no, like, you know, snappy southern slang catchphrases or anything like that. And I'm like, holy crap, I might want to watch Chris Lee now. Ew! I didn't. I mean, I'm not going to. But yeah, like, but it's, out of all the guests they've had the past 4 weeks, he definitely sounded the most sane.
Human.
Yeah, I'm assuming you did see the other guest for the week.
Yeah.
Whatever. I never pronounce her name right, so I'm not going to try.
Where is she from?
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
She was on Glee.
That's why I know her, because she's the
swim coach that eventually took over for
on Glee.
For Sue.
Okay. Gee, I was like,
and there's like other stuff she's been on, but that's the only thing I've seen.
Because I recognize her, I'm like, I have no idea why I recognize this person.
Yeah, that's right. We watch Glee. Want to fight about it? Please don't, because I don't fight very well. I'm not good at it.
Glee is being watched because might as well in this when it's close enough to the end.
Right. That's pretty much why I'm still watching it, but yeah.
Get it together, Glee!
Dear Lord, classy Glee attire.
If anybody from, like, the creative team of Glee listens to this, get it together!
I like to think that we know someone that knows someone that knows Darren Criss. I like to think that.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
I like that guy. He's pretty awesome. Just Darren Criss show for the entire sixth season of Glee?
Or spinoff, seasons? Really.
I would watch a Darren Criss spinoff.
Or just give him his own show.
Yes.
Not Glee related.
Give Darren Criss his own brand new show.
If you haven't watched any of the Harry Potter musicals on YouTube, stop listening to this and go watch it.
Wait till the end of the podcast.
Okay, or at least wait till the end of the podcast. Yeah. Watch those musicals. They're fun.
I mean, I'm happy to chill for other internet things, but not at the cost of my own audience. Calm down.
Fair enough. So wait a few minutes for this podcast to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you've already downloaded and you've already listened to most of it, so it probably already counts anyways, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you
listen to the end of the podcast.
I don't know how the algorithms work. I don't know.
Do you have anything else? We want to do what's making us happy?
Sure. What's making us happy this week, Joel?
Wrestling related? Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to be our answer.
Well,
like,
no. Here's the Dean Ambrose is like fast approaching my favorite in-ring mm-hmm. person right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's still Dolph Ziggler, but, like, it's getting close.
Yeah.
I am, like, seriously reconsidering my thoughts and outlook
on the entire thing.
Right.
Because Dean Ambrose has just been all... Oh, it's been really good these past couple weeks.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Solid, consistent. So, yeah, Dean Ambrose is... I'm really just, like, looking forward to him continuously and thoroughly. So, over the next couple of weeks, month or so, we might have a solid contender to see who my favorite in-ring, my number one in-ring person might be.
Right. So, non-wrestling related, do you have any time for anything else?
Nope.
Nope. Oh, that's so sad.
Things are happening, you know.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Wrestling related, that Orton and Ziggler match, that was fantastic. And Mizdow.
Yeah, Mizdow.
He's like, this gimmick shouldn't have worked. It really shouldn't have.
But you know what? Fair's fair. Intellectual savior to the masses wearing a bathrobe shouldn't have worked.
No, absolutely not. Like, we're seeing whatever they give Damian Sandow, he's going to absolutely go full force with it.
Mm-hmm.
This
should be like, this should be a motivational montage of why you should always give 110% kids.
Yeah.
Because you will take crap and make it gold.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I don't think Sandow's ever been this hot with the fans.
No.
You know, accidentally, apparently, but still. Non-wrestling related, I don't feel like death anymore.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah. I was as most recent as Friday night, Saturday morning, I was really bad off. Yeah, finally went to the doctor Friday. Got the news, took my antibiotics, then kind of like just suffered through that one more shift of work, and then just the weekend I kind of put myself back in isolation and came out feeling, you know, a lot better. So I'm good.
Alright.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Alright. I'm so glad you're back to do this. If you ever
heard... I struggled so bad
through these things. All right. But now we got you back, so we can power through this.
Hopefully I remember.
Like professionals. All right. You've been gumbling. You better remember your lines.
Okay.
As always, you can follow us on Classic Ring Attire at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show in the mail sack, just send those over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You'll just up Classic Ring Attire on iTunes. You can subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That's still the best way to get the podcast. Yep. And, you know, it really helps the podcast, those ratings and reviews.
Mm-hmm. And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepelts.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook. Just take a quick look on Facebook. Easy way to keep up with the podcast and with us on other ongoings that we might have.
Also post stuff that happens that goes on with Trash Ring Attire as well.
Yes. Oh, and Trash Ring Attire does have a new episode out. So,
with David Spain, yeah.
Yeah, check that out. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!